game day is underway. This is the Wingstop Kickoff Show, presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors. Here are your hosts, Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser.
Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Game day!
Let's go!
Bring it, Rams!
Come
Bring
on,
it!
Jags!
Come on! I'm not afraid of you.
This is the one! Yeah!
Rams. What is a Ram anyway? Give me a Jaguar and a Ram.
Is it Ram or Pam?
I'm not sure.
Pam?
A Ram.
What is it? Is it? It's with Pam.
A R,
no,
or
it's the Rams.
With a
Pams?
P? With an N?
With a P? What's up, my man? How are we doing today?
I'm good, yeah. Man. I'm ready. Ready to
ready
go.
Ready to roll west, are
you? No, you know, I waved the white flag a week ago. I told you it was Armageddon Sunday,
yeah.
So I've since have moved on. But
well, that's unfortunate for today's format.
It is. But we got games to play, so I'm in. I'm locked in. We're gonna be a little bit behind the eight ball today, I'm afraid. I'm worried about, you know, Jimmy Robinson and Shaq didn't make the trip.
Yeah. It's not exactly a football squad that can afford to keep suffering these personnel injuries.
Some different things today. Try different, you know, throw some different stuff at them offensively. See what you can do. They're beat up too. They're going to be missing some guys, but they're better.
The talent gap here is overwhelming.
They have to win this game. They have to win.
That being the Rams, I've kind of fallen out of that trap because we've played some of these have-tos and they don't always, so we'll see. But I believe that really when the schedule came out, if you polled general Jag fan, if you could get one this year, which one would it be? I think it might be that Rams game with you-know-who on the other side of the line of scrimmage there and still doing his whole lockdown thing to pretty good effectiveness. But obviously it's a rematch between the Jags and Jalen Ramsey. And, you know, I've seen a lot written this week, and this is somewhat from the Captain Obvious perspective, how the Rams won that trade. Look, the Jags were destined to lose the trade because Jalen put him in a losing position, right? I mean, you didn't have a whole lot to do. But, you know, let me get Travis Etienne. Let me let him play a little bit before we go declaring all-time winners and losers in this trade. So, certainly, Chaisson was a wasted draft pick at this point, Hick, right?
This is a Fox game. Of course, you can listen to it on 1010 XL 92.5. FM with Frange. We'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. And Logman and Baselli out there in Los Angeles, California. So a long trip for the boys as they get ready to go and see what they're able to do.
Rams in a funk.
They've
lost three in a row.
They are. They're not playing well. Stafford's a little bit beat up. He's not playing. Matthew Stafford, though, this game is in his wheelhouse. I read you a stat this week. I don't have it in front of me. But he is unbelievably bad against teams 500 or over in his career. Remember I said that? Wasn't it like 9-70 or something? It was some incredible number.
He's sitting in a tough spot out there. The Bears and Packers and Vikings alternately have all been good, and they play them twice a year.
The Lions have been perennially bad until he's so new lease on life going out to L.A., but just a real, real bad record against – unfortunately, we don't qualify.
Yeah, we don't fall in that category,
no,
do we?
No. So, but, you know, look. Again,
the Rams have underachieved even getting to their seven victories. I mean, they got pushed to the edge by the Detroit Lions in Los Angeles earlier this year. Losing Cam Akers at the beginning of the year was a big loss for them. He was coming on late last year as, you know, one of the real up-and-coming running backs. And you know, they got Daryl Henderson, and he'll fill in a pinch, but he's been banged up, so the Rams have had a hard time getting their personnel on the field, and as you mentioned just a second ago, and we'll go deeper when we go inside the injury report for today's game, it's been a tough task for that. Really, any team to be fully strength right now is a ridiculous proposition, right?
Yes.
It's just when you're the Jags and you lose Chark and you lose Agnew and now you've lost Dan Arnold, that it shows up a lot more.
Going into this season, Matthew Stafford was 8-67. That's a 106 winning percentage against teams that finished the season with a winning record.
Wow, that's alarming. Yeah, that's an alarming stat.
Now, to put it a little bit in perspective, there are currently six active NFL quarterbacks with winning records against winning teams. Six active NFL quarterbacks.
Oh, just right off the bat,
Pop quiz,
pregame style.
Hammer, good morning.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome.
I'm good. There are six active NFL quarterbacks with winning records against winning teams. Just a little music underneath for the
I think we've dropped a pop quiz.
Yes.
Oh.
Very nice.
Old school.
That's perfect.
Well, Brady, I would say.
Brady is one.
Yeah. Is there a minimum gameplay deal here, or can you just?
They've all got enough games that you'll go okay. You know, it's not like one's 4-3.
There's nothing like that. Like, what? Tell me the minimum guy. What's his?
I don't have the records.
I got you.
I just have the six guys.
All right.
I'd say the minimum guy's been in the league for 4 years, 5 years.
I would think that Ben Roethlisberger would be on that list.
Ben Roethlisberger is on the list.
Yeah,
there would be two who have winning records.
Do you know? Can you tell me where those guys stand?
No.
Okay. You don't want to, or you can't.
I can't. Okay. I just have the names.
I got you. All right. How about Aaron Rodgers?
Ends the game.
Yeah. It's hard to beat good teams. Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I should have gone with him first. I was thinking of Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I should have gotten these easy no-brainers out of the way.
One that you always rave about because he wins. So, and I don't like him that much, but he always wins. He always wins. He's got a winning record, Nick. Look at this record. Look at his overall record. I mean, the guy, if he plays, he wins. If he plays, he wins. Jimmy G.
Oh, yeah, I almost thought about him, too.
And Russell Wilson. Roethlisberger, Garoppolo, Jackson, Mahomes. That's going into this year, by the way. Wilson and Brady.
That should matter, by the way. When you're factoring into your head these hierarchies of quarterbacks, that should matter. It should matter that Aaron Rodgers, while positioned as top three, if not top one, can't answer these other studs when it comes to beating winning teams.
Yeah.
That's an eye-opener. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers goes down the list because of that stat right there. That stat should be advertised a little more because you didn't give me bad quarterbacks on bad teams.
No.
Right? You gave me the good quarterbacks on the good teams, and the one guy left out of the equation that jumps out of me there is Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Dak too a little bit too, but he hasn't played quite as long.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, Jags out west. They'll take on the Rams today. We got a lot to do today. I think we have a giveaway. Is that correct, Hammer?
Yes, it is.
All right, so we have a giveaway.
Season of giving, you know.
It is.
Big week of giving around these parts.
Big week. I was, it's a different time today. It's an 11 o'clock start because the game's at 4.
You've been here since 8. I'm sorry. I know we didn't tell you.
I got churched up today, which was good. It was, got a chance to slide in, but left and I was starving, so I went to get some food, but the food place didn't open until 10:30.
Food place. Gotcha.
Food place. And then as I was driving, I'm not giving them any credit.
The pants store. Did you stop and get some pants at the pants store?
No, but I did ship my pants yesterday.
Oh, good. Nice. It's that time. Shipping season,
yes,
too.
Yes, it is. But so the rub was at 10:30.
I see something in front of you. Yeah, obviously,
first
you found some.
Yeah, I did. First in line, order the food, and they say, okay, but it's going to be 10 minutes.
Because they got to cook it.
They got to cook it.
Sure.
Yeah. No, it was fresh and tasty and warm.
Oh, good for you.
When I got it, but
fresh, tasty and warm.
I was pushing the envelope a little bit. Came in a little hot today. Hammer was a bit concerned that no one was
I
here.
I walked in at 1 before the hour. happened?
Hicken got here 3 minutes before airtime, and he beat you.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, too. I was a little thrown back. I really had been here about 10 minutes, but I couldn't find my parking spot. So I circled the parking lot.
Oh, you're saying I'm in your spot.
Well, just by habit, because I'm always the first one here. So it threw me off. I even drove around front. Am I in the right lot? Is something wrong? What have I done?
But good,
no.
Habit, Hammer.
Then I figured that, no, Dan is parked in, well, I kind of call it my spot. That's really not fair. I don't own it. There's no name. But
I did some road scouting last night.
Did you? I like that Pitt quarterback, huh?
Two of my guys.
Is that who you're talking about or no?
No.
I like him.
Defense. No, I'm trying to improve the Jags.
Yeah, so your Hutchinson is one.
I watched my boy Hutch, and I wasn't that impressed.
No, yeah, me either.
And then my one of my receiver choices tore his ACL.
Yeah, I think the Williams, we talked earlier, I think Williams is better.
Well, he's gone, though. He's not making it to 36. We'll have to trade up to get him.
Oh, you think Michi would make it that far?
Yeah.
Boy, what a terrible, and we'll do some college later when the hour changes. The chaos didn't really come yesterday.
No chaos. It's all set. It's done. It'll happen in
Heisman was won.
Less than an hour. Yeah.
The playoff field established itself.
It's all over.
Couldn't have gone any better, and it'll be a Georgia-Bama rematch, I think. Can Michigan beat Georgia?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
And Georgia's going to be a little mad on now, too, after the way they performed yesterday. But more on that. For now, we concentrate on the Jaguars. And why don't we, right off the bat here, since it seems apropos, focus in on a few keys to the game.
Oh.
Now, the keys to the game. Brought to you by Instant Keys. Fast, professional, honest locksmith service.
Well, listen, there are always certain keys that translate from week to week, right? there's one that just is driving me mad, Dan.
Yeah.
You're not winning any football games if you get one turnover every 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The team's got six turnovers forced, Dan.
Yeah,
how is that possible? So here's the key. Go out there and get zero or one turnovers and come home 2-10. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah.
And can you count on them? No. What? You know, it's amazing, Hick. I mean, I look at the Bills game where the Jags shocked the world and won 9-6. And what happened that game?
They got some turnovers.
Three of them.
Yeah.
They forced three turnovers. They have six all year.
Have they gotten any since?
They may not have. They've recovered. How is this possible with an oblong ball? They've recovered one fumble all year. Well, at least as a takeaway. Maybe we've fallen on one of our many, but so somehow, some way, we need some. You need to change the field. The Rams are highly favored today for a reason.
I like to say that one of the keys for the Jags is to stop the run. The Jags defense has been bad. Run defense has been bad. When it had been a strength, we thought it would be a staple this year. But they've given up 149 yards in each of their last three losses, average of 149 yards rushing. And the Rams, I don't think are going to have Henderson today, but I don't think it matters. I really don't think it's a key at all.
I think the Rams are going to try and throw the ball a lot. Sure, the Jags are down in the secondary.
Cooper Kupp is going to have a field day today. And that's what worries me the most. Yeah. I'd be excited for them to. Normally, I would say take away the run, you know, but I just don't think it matters. I think Stafford will throw up 45 times today if he has to.
I think that might even be the plan because the one thing the Jags do better than the other is stop the run.
Correct. And they haven't been very good at that either.
Let me ask you this. Improvement that Tyson Campbell's showing week to week. I mean, last 3 weeks, he has just shot up.
Yeah.
Are we to a point, if Shaq can't play, should they let Campbell follow Kupp? Or is there too much there to do, or does it matter?
I mean, I don't
know. You know,
the name to pay attention to today is the Higby Cat.
The tight end.
Yeah.
You're always afraid of those tight ends.
Tight ends kill us.
I mean, the Bengals tight end didn't do – oh, wait, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Remember that guy that Thursday night, Uzoma? Yeah. I don't think he's caught a ball since, has he? That guy looked like Uzoma. he was the next Travis Kelce playing against the Jags that night.
Yeah.
Look, here's a key.
Rams are second in passing touchdowns. So.
Yeah, they're going to attack through the air. Here's another key. Because the Jags' offense is so
stagnant.
Odell
may not play today, by the way.
It's questionable. We'll see. I think they expect him to play, but you're always wary of an Odell injury designation. This is a key for any bad team, but I think it's especially today. I don't think that the players, by the way, or the organization as a whole is all that jacked up about the Jalen thing. I think that's more of a fan. I don't think that's a distraction.
100%.
There's not enough left over that there's any, you know, there's no one to even go to the locker room this week and talk to about Jalen. That's how much, you know, the locker room has turned over since then. But against a good team on the road with an anemic offense, try your best not to do what we've done the last 3 or 4 weeks and fall behind 10, 14, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How ugly would this be? Like, I could see this game going like the Seattle game.
Yeah.
You know, you look up at the end of the first quarter, they've hit you with a couple of big pass plays. It's 14, nothing, and your offense refuses week to week to improve. And I'm shocked. Urban says it. It's probably more damning coming from the head coach, but I, like Urban, am shocked that the offense hasn't cleaned up at all yet. It's not cleaned up at all.
No. And I'll tell you something else. Aaron Donald and the Rams D is strong against the Jags. Offensive line will be a great test for them today. You know, I just got to keep Trevor upright, give him a chance, you know. It's going to be tough.
You know, and James Robinson, as is every week for the Jags, if they win football games, he's going to control the pace and the, you know, and the tempo. And you know, the Jags got to.
James Robinson, I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah, at all, huh?
Yeah.
Did he have a real big setback or what happened?
Yeah, it looked like it. Looked like it.
Because
so.
He was, you know, trending ahead of the.
Yeah, I think he's just been, you know. I told you, we have him on that Monday night show, and I can just tell he's not.
He has looked. I mean, God bless him. He's grinding it out. Yeah. And no one has pointed this out. I text you once every week the same thought. Mm-hmm. He looks hurt to me.
He is.
He goes around right in, and when it comes time to jab that right foot in the ground and go, it's slow. It almost he almost limps. It's amazing he's done what he has done to this point. So, well, without him, the Jags have no running game. I mean, maybe Carlos Hyde could step up. He's done it in his career. We have not seen him do it a bunch as a Jag.
Yeah.
I'm not as down on Carlos Hyde as, like, Jen Pop. I'm down when it comes to him getting carries over a healthy James Robinson, which has happened too much this year. But, you know, as a serviceable backup, the passing game, you just keep waiting to get on track at all, and it just doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when you're pinning all your hopes – you know, in the future of a franchise quarterback, the fact that we can't get Trevor Lawrence up and going in any kind of groove, and forget wild numbers or upset victories, just a look.
Yeah.
He looked in, and you tell me, But it looked, there was those two drives there at the end of the third and the beginning of the fourth last week where guys actually started getting open for the easy throws were actually easy. That looked as comfortable as he's been. And so maybe there's a little bit of carry over there. Maybe they discovered a little something in the second half last week. I bet he threw to more, quote, open receivers by the analytics in that little stretch of last week's game than he has all year for a 10-15 minute stretch or a two drive stretch.
I don't know. I'm not excited about it. I feel, you know, I'm excited that they're playing. I'm excited it's game day. I'm excited to see the Jags and the Rams play, but I just don't have a great feeling about this one. But didn't have a great feeling about Buffalo, and I'm pretty sure you go back last year, you wouldn't have had a great feeling about the Jets and the Rams. So
sure.
The Rams are not as good as their stars indicate. In other words, their defense is like middle of the road, even below average in points given up. It should be much, much better.
It's surprising.
It's shocking. You have allegedly two Hall of Famers playing for you, in Donald and Ramsey. You've got other guys who are really good football players on that defensive side of the ball, and yet there is not near enough production defensively for this football team.
And the Rams, you know, it's pretty clear they're built to win now. And I'm not talking, Hick, about all the draft picks that they have sent off to acquire this talent. This is aging, high-priced talent.
Yeah.
You can't keep giving you can't give Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald both the world, which they did,
yeah,
and have enough to go around when the other guys come up. I mean, you can piecemeal it year to year. The Rams went all in to win this year. That's what it seems like.
Right.
I mean, with the trade for Stafford, with the trade for Von Miller, who, by the way, has done absolutely nothing in L.A.
Yeah, he might be done.
Oof. He started so good. He was a player of the week early in the year.
Yeah.
Like a 3-sack game, but he is.
Is that against the Jags?
It may have been. Do you remember the stat, though? I forget what it was. It'll come to my mind. Mm-hmm. The C.J. Henderson stat that he was like 0-8.
Oh yeah,
because none with the Jags, and then he went to Carolina, who was good. And Von Miller's got something similar. He's like 1-8 this year.
Really?
Yeah, because he went. Remember, he said, "Oh, I went from 1-4. Went from 1-4 to 4-1 or whatever." Mm-hmm. And they haven't won a game since he got there. Lost three in a row. So
wow.
We'll see. All right. Well, we're just getting up and running.
We are.
I want to just briefly give a glimpse when we come back at a game that does not involve the Jaguars team, but it certainly involves a Jaguar.
Okay.
It's trending that way towards the 1 o'clock kickoffs, and I'll fill in those gaps when we return. You're listening to the Wingstop Kickoff Show. We will be up and running from now until 1 p.m. when we carry in a network pregame. Of course, a late game and a 4:05 kick today for the Jags. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Starting your game day, the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010 XL.
All right, so the Jags will go.
Duval County. Okay. Loves the Jaguars. That's right.
Just don't know. So the Jags go west.
You don't know that we actually did that song.
Who? You and in
that song
Dickinson?
Song is run.
Okay.
Well, you think like I'm making it up every
time. No. You just did. No. I'm more just giggling at your childlike enthusiasm towards life. It wasn't necessarily that. So the Jags go west to face the Rams with their franchise savior quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, right? We tanked for Trevor, and in the meantime, a brief flash of a folk hero went off in a separate direction. The Jags, you know, with Trevor firmly entrenched for the future, were able to trade Gardner Minshew for, what was it, a 6th-round draft pick, Dan? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, right, we traded like 8 guys for 6th-round draft picks. We got the 6th round pretty much cornered. So they traded Gardner Minshew off to the Philadelphia Eagles, where, you know, it's not like he stepped into a real competition there. Jalen Hurts, pretty well established as the Eagles quarterback. However, Jalen Hurts has an ankle injury and now officially has been listed as inactive today. So Minshew mania gets to spread its Eagle wings today, and we'll see how Gardner does at the New York Jets. It'll be fun to peek in on old Minshew and see how he does.
You're missing the boat here.
I am.
It's not just Gardner Minshew.
Okay.
Mike Glennon will also be starting
on the other side
for the New York Football Giants. So I'd like you to see we have a lot of good memories of Mike as a Jag.
Yeah, no, we don't.
That long neck giraffe. creature.
Look at our quarterbacks that we've employed
Mike
here.
Mike Glennon, Gardner Minshew, all out there
ready,
making things happen.
You ready to really think about this? These are our starting quarterbacks in
God
full.
God help Mahomes if he goes down and Chad Henne jogs out onto the field.
Our starting quarterbacks in full, without leaving anyone out, for the last 10 years are the likes of Gabbert, Henne, Bortles, Foles, Glennon.
Yes.
Minshew's better than all of them. I liked old Gardner Minshew. Long term, do you stay with him over the prospects of Trevor Lawrence? Of course you don't. And if Gardner Minshew were as good as the Minshewites who really loved and followed him and still today wish he were here quarterbacking instead, should take at least a little bit of a cue that he went up to Philadelphia behind their, quarterback of the future, and there wasn't much of a competition there. But I know Gardner loves to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny that. The guy's got a flair. He's got a passion for playing football, and he'll get to do that today with the Eagles visiting the Jets.
Well,
MetLife Mania.
You just hope that the Jaguars have a little, something, a little chip, a little anger, a little something. I mean, sort of becoming the butt of jokes again at 2-9 about today's, if they lose today, and I'll give them that, at least the benefit of the doubt. But if they lose today, then the numbers will start to come out about double-digit loss seasons, of which the Jaguars have been very, very good at.
In a bad way.
In a bad way. That will become the narrative as they pick up there. What will this be, Proz? 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row.
If they lose today?
Yeah, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of 11.
Double-digit seasons? Yeah.
Losses.
Yeah, no, yeah.
In the last...
Believable.
In the last 11 years, mm-hmm. 10 times, the Jags will have at least 10 losses.
It's going to be 10, whether it comes today or at some point. Sitting here at 2-9,
Now, look.
The biggest disappointment, and we keep circling back, is that here we are at 2-9-11, and we haven't turned any kind of corner of improvement. We're not going out every week and figured something out.
Middle of the season jump, and now we've sort of regressed.
Stagnated, if not gotten worse, right.
But that is no bueno.
Yeah, and there's nothing we can do about that this year, but what they're doing this year can certainly bleed over and impact what they do next year. I found it interesting to hear some of Urban Meyer's comments this week through his press conference, and he believes in a locker room, right? He calls them all warriors, but they've won two games.
Two games.
And the mistakes and I don't mean necessarily penalties or turnovers. I just mean misexecution. I don't think we know how often that's happening. It was glaring last week, right, on the last attempt of the game. It was pretty clear that quarterback and receiver were not on the same page. We're 3 months into working out and timing, and not to mention that didn't I see Trevor Dan go off to Clemson, South Carolina with Marvin Jones, DJ Chark, and LaVisca Chenault under the purported purpose of getting the timing? I mean, they went overboard, worked overtime to get on the same page, and yet they're not getting there. And it's also, as a fan, it's disconcerting because you don't know exactly why.
Right.
Maybe it's better, because if the reason is Trevor, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's no good side to bad mistakes, but if they're happening, I hope they're not happening on his end.
Yeah. So, great challenges for the Jags today against a team that is, as we said, desperate for a win at 7-4 and 3 losses in a row. And a lot of wondering out there if this team, halfway through the season, probably a lot of people's trendy Super Bowl pick.
The Rams. Well, they were 7-1. They were riding high, right? They made these moves, to put themselves even better position. Look, most teams have to have a running game to have postseason success. Almost all of them. Not all of them, but almost all of them.
Yeah.
Even the teams that you associate with the Bradys and Mannings, they had running games. I mean, Tom Brady, the names may not have been sexy,
right?
They may have been names like Antoine Smith or others through the years, Kevin Falk, I mean, whatever flavor of the month back they use, but you better be able to run the ball. Like the Bucs last year didn't run it at all. They were great all season long because of Brady in that passing game. But when they got to the postseason, who stepped up, Dan? Playoff Lenny. Right? Leonard Fournette last year in the postseason was as good a running back as anybody that was running in the postseason. So the Rams, Darrell Henderson will not play today. That's now official, by the way. So they're already down Cam Akers for the season or until late in the year on IR, and now Daryl Henderson won't play. And you just wonder, with the Rams moving forward and trying for their biggest goals, if they have enough of a running game to do it, especially when you get when you got that January trip to Green Bay.
One more thing before we welcome Frank Frangie to the program, and we'll do that after this next break. Josh Allen played better football this year, and he's got, what, 18 and a half career sacks. But in the 2019 draft class, I believe Josh Allen was a member of the 19 draft class, there are four other guys who have more sacks than Josh, four other players. And the first guy is really, well, two of the four are somewhat surprising, to be honest with you. Bosa would be one who comes to mind, right?
The Niners Bosa.
Yeah, the Niners Bosa. Who was
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa. And he's only half sack ahead of Josh Allen.
Is that right? Boy, you're not according to the national narrative.
Yeah. Montez Sweat.
I was going to say third. Sweat. I almost said him.
He has 20.
Montez Sweat is the Mississippi State.
Yes.
And then Josh Sweat is FSU.
Max Crosby, who was like a third or fourth round pick.
At least. They may even deeper.
Raider.
Remember him from
sacks.
Remember him from his rookie the HBO show.
And the number
with the Raiders.
And the number one guy. FSU. But not Josh Sweat.
Huh.
Yeah. 24 sacks in 43 games. Brian Burns, Carolina. Been very good for them.
Been very good.
Very good for them.
He was, and that was a name around draft time.
Mm-hmm. So it's just
scouting and focusing and wondering and projecting. Brian Burns was a name.
Interesting to see all these guys competing against each other. And
Jags haven't had haven't been a glowing example of draft success. But Josh Allen was a good draft pick. Now last year was kind of a loss, but he was really good as a rookie. Made the Pro Bowl, and
he's been good this year.
And he's been good this year. They need four more Josh Allens on defense
for sure,
right? And they haven't gotten that. Although they seem look, I'm optimistic suddenly about the future with Tyson Campbell and Shaq Griffin. That could grow into a really good tandem, I think.
Well, let's hope so. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. It's the Wingstop Kickoff Show, not live at Tailgaters, in studio today for the Roadies. Good to be back in the friendly confines. And we'll take a break next week. Of course, the Titans. Today, the Rams, two roads in a row. Jags trying to get their third win of the season, seemingly.
Well, they're 13-point underdogs.
Will they be a bigger underdog in any of the rest of their games? I guess it depends
where's
how it goes.
The Patriots? Patriots are here.
No, it's up there.
That could be maybe that one.
Yeah.
Depending on what happens. I mean,
depending on what the Patriots do.
If the Patriots beat the Bills, you know, the next two of the next 3 weeks, then that one maybe.
All right, we'll get the voice of the Jags, Frank Frangie, get some thoughts from him. That's coming up right after the break, right here on the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Starting your game day, the Wingstop Kickoff Show, presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
Yeah, false start again, 5 yards. I lead the league in false start. Jawan Taylor needs me on that line.
I would take
so much of the attention off of him. I would jump, you know, every other play call.
Hold on a second. I'm just taking in the who for a minute. I enjoyed that.
I checked with the NFL.
Okay.
I did the due diligence. You know, my dream scenario of, you know, let Jalen Rose trail, you know, Marvin Jones across the middle, and then unbeknownst to him, Chris Manhurts just get a running start. And I mean, put that shoulder pad right in the breastbone. Yeah, render him incapable of playing the rest of the day. I checked with the NFL. That's not allowed. So, unfortunately, Jag fans, that won't be happening today. But no. I would order the hit. Okay. If it were me, yeah, I would put the bounty out. That would be the kind of coach I am. I would have to answer to my owner and have a press conference tomorrow, but the fans would love me.
Gotcha.
Hello, Frank.
let me tell you why I love coming on here. I get Daughtry and Peter Townshend, okay? I get false starts and I get purposeful targeting. That's
correct.
Why this
yes.
will
rock. I like. Okay? I prefer the term bounty. Frank, I prefer the term bounty, if you would, when you reference this moving forward. It'll be
Frost
a
is so bad at the false starts, the ref comes running in with his arms
yes.
going in a circle.
Yeah. The fans boo. Oh, yeah. 64 again.
They're just running in. He's just running in.
I want to share something with you guys real quick. The first NFL game that I ever went to was a Rams-Falcons game in like the mid to late 70s. Joe Namath, it was his first game as the Rams quarterback. And the Falcons actually upset them. And there's a lot of sidebars to that. But the one thing that ties into what we're talking about, is the Falcons had a big offensive tackle named Warren Bryant. You guys remember him at all?
Yes.
He had been from Kentucky. Was he
yes,
Kentucky,
he
maybe?
Yes.
So they had Warren Bryant, and in that game, I kid you not, he false started six times. And even as a 9-year-old, I understood just the complete buffoonery of that. How can you do it six times? Then I watched the Gators in Kentucky, and oh, that's
now you understand.
Sure.
Well, anyway. Frank, everyone is desperate for you to paint a picture of how the Jags are going to post a dub today out there in La La Land, where I trust you're having a wonderful time.
I am. We're at Marina Del Rey near Santa Monica. It's the enjoyable part of this is to go about a mile and a half, 20 minutes. I've always enjoyed that. traffic is spectacular. I know it's beautiful out here at Marina Del Rey. Having a great time. Well, let me just say this. Yeah, it's a hard game for them to win. It's going to be one of the hardest games of the year. But you want to paint a positive picture?
Yes, paint it.
Here's what I'll give you. The one of the reasons they beat the Bills, who probably came in as the best team in the league at the time, is the Bills are a finesse team that would rather pass it than run it. And okay. I think that's why the Jags truly did match up well with them. It wasn't so they want to pass it. They don't run it at all. A physical team like the Titans or the 49ers, the Jags are in trouble because they run it right at you. And that's problematic for the Jags. But a team that wants to throw it, well, the Rams are the same team as the Bills. The Rams don't even try to run the ball. The Rams are 24th in the league in rushing offense. They are 7th in the league in passing offense. They don't even try to run it. So they play like the Bills play. And so if there's any chance to harass the quarterback, Matt Stafford, by the way, is throwing a pick six in three straight games, as you guys know.
Yeah.
So he's not playing very well. So if ever there was a chance to harass the quarterback and to get him off his mark the way you did Josh Allen, it would be against a team that plays the way the Bills. How'd I do?
I like your line of thinking. That's a very good corollary to point out to give you at least some optimism so that we don't all assume 14-0 8 minutes into the game.
Right.
What's the challenge, though, without Shaq Griffin? Because he's been a big part. I think he held Diggs that day to, what, 3 or 4 catches. He's been a big part of trailing the other guy's best guy. And this team's best guy happens to be this year the best, most productive guy in the league in Cooper Kupp. So how do we manage that challenge, do you think?
And you're right. That's going to be very hard. Nevin Lawson will start. Nevin's kind of a journeyman guy. Yes, it hurts a great deal to have Shaq Griffin out. You're right, Jeff. People think, well, he keeps getting in position for interceptions and dropping the ball, so he must not be playing well. He's played well. The only thing he hasn't done is make the plays at the end. If he had caught all those interceptions, because he's always in position, he's going to the Pro Bowl. So he's had a pretty good year for them. He has not been a bad player, and it is going to be hard. I think the same thing they did against the Bills, Jeff. I think they're going to play that umbrella coverage. They'll play a lot of zones. They'll try to keep everything in front of them, keep their eyes on Matt Stafford, because that's the guy you want to keep your eyes on, because he can be intercepted from. And then they'll blitz all kind of different guys. I think what they did against the Bills, where you weren't sure who was blitzing every play, and Josh Allen was clearly confused because he didn't know where it was coming from, that's what they're going to try and create today. But you're right. I mean, without Shaq, maybe the best receiver in the league, certainly the most productive receiver, and you have your best cornerback down, even though Tyson Campbell's playing much better.
He's coming. Yep.
He's still not the veteran who's seen a lot of this. So that's going to make it hard. Look, this is a tough challenge for them today. I mean, the Rams have lost 3 in a row. They feel it slipping away from them. This was a year they went all in, man. They traded everybody for everybody to try to win the Super Bowl. Then all of a sudden you look up and they've lost 3 games in a row. They're a mad team. They're a bitter team. It's a tough day to get them out here. There's no sugarcoating that part of it. But, play umbrella coverage, blitz like crazy. The question I got is, can the Jags get anything done offensively? I know I saw where James Robinson's going to try and play. You guys watched him. He's not healthy. You know, he's not the James Robinson that a healthy James Robinson is. So, no, it's a tough challenge. There's no question.
Yeah, and you touched on it, but you're right. I mean, you can halfway salvage me a defensive performance against them.
Right.
But offensively, the guy's going down. I mean, they lost Dan Arnold. Now, O'Shaughnessy's back, but, you know, Robinson's hurt. There's still, you know, we've already lost Chark. You never got to see ETN. I mean, they're running guys out there, Laquan Treadwell and Tavon. I mean.
I believe it's O'Shaq Hennessy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. How do you say it, Frank, when O'Shaq Hennessy catches a ball?
From now on, I'm going to.
Yeah, you're going to get caught now. Yeah, it's going to happen. You're going to embarrass yourself. You'll be on SportsCenter.
There's no getting away from it now.
In fact, this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
Lawrence back to pass over the middle. O'Shaq, damn it!
And I'll cuss
I
you
hate
guys
those guys.
Morning guys.
I did it to me again.
That's the whole key. Here's what you don't want. You talked about the 14-0.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. The last thing you want is Von Miller and Aaron Donald and company pinning back their ears because you got to pass. That's the nightmare game, is early deficit have to pass. The other question I've got about this game is, will they keep running Trevor? I'm sure you guys have talked about that.
Yes.
Last week, they finally ran the RPO, and he took off. It really helped them. Now there's film on it, so it's not going to help you as much. But did you guys get – I get nervous. I get nervous every time.
I don't like it. This is how I phrased it this week, Frank. Short term, I get it. You're trying anything you can to keep moving the chains, to compete, to win games. Long term, bad idea. He's not built to that. One time a game when no one's expecting it, throw it in the belly and then pull it and run for 15 and get out of bounds. That's fine, but – I do not want that to become a weapon of the – I think Herbs is wrong on this one. I think he and Bevel are maybe clashing a little bit over it or whatever, going back and forth, exchanging discussion about it, whatever it is. I don't think that's a long-term thing for Trevor Lawrence. I don't.
No, I don't either. But I will say – but to your point about clashing, coaching, coordinator clashing, I don't know if that's happening. But I do get the God, they're desperate. How do we move the
right?
I mean, somehow. Look, is there anything we're missing? Is there anything we haven't tried yet? Is there anything we can do to not be so anemic on offense? And I think that's what led to that. Hey, here's one thing we haven't done yet. Here's one thing we haven't tried yet. I think that's where it came from. But I'm with you. I get a little nervous. I want him on the ground. I want the first down. I want him on the ground. I want the hook slide, the stand up slide, the head first slide, any of the slides. Slide guy.
There's one phenomenon in sports that I don't understand. I really don't. And it would make sense if you applied it just to the Jaguars, because quite frankly, in our 26 years, we're often a lot worse than we are good. But this inability to fly a couple hours and win a football game like you just had to play at the top of Mount Everest is just a mind-boggling. And yet the Jags, it is documented, proven, and historically, they just don't win on the West Coast. What is it, Frank? What gives?
No, I hear you. My belief on that is the Jags in these years, Jeff, haven't had a good team, and I think they when you don't have a good team, you're not a confident team. Well, all of a sudden you're not trying to do this, but the next thing you know, you're looking for excuses why we're going to go lose. I think struggling teams in any sport looks for excuses why we're going to go lose. We're not good at this. We're not good at that. And then I think it kind of gets in your head a little bit. So you're right. Your point's right. You're up and down on the plane. You know. It's not a hard – trips aren't hard anymore. In today's air travel, all trips are easy. All trips, one may be 5 hours, one may be 2 hours, but they're all easy. You get off the plane, you go play. It's mental. I think the Jags, over these 26 years, Jeff, it becomes mental. You look for reasons why you're not going to play well. Well, guess what happens? Then you're down 7-0, and then it's in everybody's mind. And the only way to change that is to win a few of those. That's how you change it. You know, you win a few of those. They did win in Oakland a couple years ago. But you're right. It hasn't happened very often. I think it's mental as much as anything else. I think it's way more mental, Jeff, than it is the travel. I think that's your point. I totally agree.
You know, Frank, we've been looking at the talking about the receivers all year and how they're subpar. But you want to slap in the face of reality, man. Look at the depth chart as it pronounced today. You know, with Chenault, Tavon Austin, Marvin Jones, and then your backups. Treadwell and Jadon Mickens rolling in there with one more catch, by the way, Frank, and feel free to use this one. That's what I'm here for, to give you content.
I know you are.
Especially if it gets ugly. When Laquon Treadwell catches that 6-yard route in the second half, you can say, with that catch, Treadwell now ties DJ Chark with 7 receptions this year.
Boy, that stinks. Doesn't that one sting? I mean, that one stings. I'll say this about the receiving thing.
Uh-huh.
Number one, you couldn't have predicted that Chark was going to get hurt. That was a dagger that you couldn't afford.
Right.
But yeah, to my eyes, the most glaring mistake they have made in player procurement over the last X amount of years is not finding receivers. Justin Jefferson was in that draft, and Elijah Moore was in that draft, and Rondell Moore was in that draft, and Christian Kirk was in that draft. And these were high-volume college receivers.
Right.
Not guys that run 100 miles an hour at the combine. I don't care about that.
Right.
Guys that caught 70, 80, 100 passes in college, and the Jags haven't drafted that guy. They've drafted guys, not just this regime, all regimes. They've drafted guys that bench press a lot at the combine and run fast at the combine. rather than guys that had a bunch of catches in really good leagues in college. And I think if there's one thing that they have to really evaluate when they go into the player procurement phase, which is free agency and draft, then they've got to go get high-volume pass receivers, and they have to get a number of them. That, to me, is the gigantic glaring weakness of this roster and really has been for a number of years, I really believe.
All right, so the Jags get to run into their old friend Jalen Ramsey again. I understand that you hung out last night at Avalon Hollywood with Jalen. I'm just wondering how's he doing after breaking bread with the former Jag. Yeah, they started at Avalon.
Then
they went over to Bordeaux for a little late night cap.
Wow.
Correct. Yeah.
I number one, you're the only one that knows that, and I'm amazed that you do.
I'm sorry.
We had wine and bread.
Yeah.
We had a good time together. We uh-huh. it was festive and it was flavorful.
Wow. Good.
So we all had that. Hey, let me tell you this. Jalen will make a big deal of this because he'll knock away a pass or dance or pirouette or whatever he does. That's not a big part of this game. The big part of this game is can the Jags find a way to stay in the game into the second half, and all of a sudden the Rams get nervous that they're about to lose again. Jalen's a great player. News bulletin, the Jags haven't exactly been throwing it down the field well anyway. You know, if all of a sudden because Jalen's there, the Jags don't have a lot of downfield passes, well, maybe people haven't watched the last 8 weeks of tape. There's not a lot of downfield passes. So I almost think he is probably less of a factor in this game than he is in other games, Jeff, where they have a lot of good receivers and a lot of good downfield passing. You know what I mean? And he's not gonna impact this game as much. When the Jags are good on offense or running the football, and that's how you have to impact them. So Jalen will make the national media make a big deal about it. Everyone will talk about it. I don't think it's a big factor in the game.
It's strange how they play Jalen Ramsey. How he's not just a lockdown corner. You know, he's so skilled and so long. He gets, you know, he hides in zone. It's just odd how they use him.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Well, he plays a lot. He actually plays a lot of nickel now. If you watch their tape, plays a lot of slot, a lot of nickel. They move him around. Part of that is because he is a physical player. You know, he can do a lot of things. If he wasn't such a great cornerback, he'd be a great safety.
He played some safety at FSU, didn't he? Didn't he have a year in safety there?
He did. He played. So he's that's kind of what they're doing. They're moving him all over the place. But you're right. He's in that nickel a lot. Their depth chart lists him as a nickel. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
They move him all over the place. But again, I don't sense he's as big a factor. Jags have to find a way to stay in the game. They have to move Stafford off his mark. I do think there's something to that, by the way. I do think I don't care who you are. If you've thrown a pick six in three straight games and your team that was supposed to go to the Super Bowl has suddenly lost those three games, he's going to be a little jittery, and he's going to hear some boo birds. He throws a pick early in that game. He gets sacked early in that game. The boo birds are going to come out.
Oh.
And that's their chance. It's a long shot for the Jags, but that's their chance to win.
Frank, last thing I always like to hear, the travel plans from the West Coast on the way back.
He revels in others' misery.
It excites me to hear what you got cooking on the way back tonight.
On the way out, we have a direct flight on JetBlue. I had like three seats to myself. It was glorious.
That's very good.
Yeah, I looked like one of the rich guys that like buys the whole row.
I'm not afraid to literally lay down in that situation.
Oh,
lift up the armrest and lay down like it's a book. Yeah.
So I got a red eye tonight.
Okay.
11:55 out of here. That would be Pacific Standard Time.
Oh.
Which would be more closer to 3 a.m. your time.
Okay.
And I will be back in the friendly confines around 7:30 overnight, 7:30 in the morning. Going to go right home and go to bed. If you want to know what I'm going to be doing,
does that sound like a Tuesday podcast? Then just for planning
podcast.
Purposes,
you can count on the Tuesday podcast. That's exactly right.
Sounds good, Frank. Have a great call today, man. Appreciate you.
Okay, boys, y'all take care.
All right, thank you, Frank. Frank Frangie, we'll turn our attention.
Living that L.A. life, Dan. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
I know you get those 3 hours when you go out there, so you know you're just. Living large out there.
By the way, Kyler Murray will play today. DeAndre Hopkins is going to play today. Other guys who've been hurt.
Gardner Minshew, we said earlier in the show, is going to get the start.
Corey Davis, Brandon Cooks, Roquan Smith all playing today in the early games.
Yeah, it's strange in our time slot to be so close to the kickoffs of the game, right?
Oh,
I mean, we're just 1 hour and 5 minutes away from kickoffs around the league. We're about 4 hours and 10 minutes away from the Jags kicking off at the Rams. We'll continue our discussions, as always, and it plays to great fanfare, and we know you guys love when we give you the bridge segment as we move the football weekend from Saturday to Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of expected I did.
Well, we're
going
to have at the top of the hour, we're going to have all the bowl announcements and such, so we'll get that information out to you as it happens.
Breaking news, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, OU's set to hire an old friend.
Brett Venables, I don't like that hire, man.
Mm.
I'm Oklahoma, I don't know, though. I mean,
he was at Oklahoma for 12 years.
Don't forget, though, when he was at Oklahoma, their defense has struggled some Although they did that great job against FSU in the title game. Mm-hmm. I guess he was there then, right? Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, yeah, we'll bridge. We've got college football news and notes are coming out. Do the playoff four, I guess, is announced at noon also?
Yeah.
Which we know. We know the four. I'm pretty sure we know the order, but we'll dig into that a little bit. Review just the dog's getting hit by a car yesterday, man.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes a dog gets hit by a car and that's it for him. Say bye-bye, he's dead. But sometimes a dog gets banged up a little bit. You see him in 2 weeks and he just gnashes your teeth. So I wonder which dog is going to show back up, because I don't know about you. I kind of feel like we might see that game again this year. But we'll get into that, some of the college news and notes. We're still going to visit with Hayes Carline behind enemy lines. Oh. We've still got the injury report coming your way. We still have a giveaway.
A giveaway.
I got a lot coming up. It is the Wingstop Kickoff
Show. What an hour.
Show.
A better hour than this hour, which wasn't bad.
This is the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
He did it. He didn't jump. Welcome back. Wingstop Kickoff Show rolling on here, talking some sports. Jaguars, Rams coming up momentarily. Lots of things happening in the college football world, and we are ready for it. By the way, sad news, Bob Dole passed away. 98 for Bob Dole. That just breaking this morning as well. We should hear who the final four is, but we know who the final four is.
Yeah, I think we know the order.
Yeah.
Right? It's Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati.
Correct.
I mean, there's no way around. I can't see an argument for any other order. Some might argue for Michigan won, but I think Alabama proved yesterday it deserves to be.
That's the only thing you can somewhat try to get. It would have been interesting, and it's just theoretical, but what if Oklahoma State had scored and won that game? Georgia or Oklahoma State? Georgia would have got in.
I think it's more Oklahoma State or Cincinnati, to be honest.
Yeah, Georgia would have got in. But, listen, you can make the argument now after Georgia's performance yesterday.
That was their first test.
Yeah.
I mean, of anyone near equal.
Yeah, now Arkansas was a nice win. There's some nice
wins. Auburn, Florida's a nice win in Florida. Mm-hmm. Good Florida, when they were at their best this year, that's a healthy win. But Florida was in a state of deterioration and gave a guy the first, you know, just, I'm not taking anything away. Georgia's better than Florida. Right. That's not my point. Right. But vulnerability is an interesting angle.
But the boys love the word chaos, and there's no chaos, and there's no chaos. And Heisman Trophy basically was awarded last night, I think. How do you vote for anybody but Bryce Young? I don't know. I'll be sending in my vote tomorrow. Before 5 o'clock,
we went from gosh, who's the Heisman to if people waited, and if you didn't wait, then maybe it's time to give someone else a vote.
Yeah,
but if people waited, I mean, this might be unanimous. Who has even an argument close to Bryce Young now?
Be tough.
Now that's all said and done. Yeah. Really, no one has an argument.
He was terrific yesterday.
Real quick, guys, this just dropped. Miami is apparently closing in on hiring Mario Cristobal. Well,
that'd be great for them.
According to the Miami Herald, they're deep in negotiations on a deal worth $8 million per year over 5 years.
Well, they're getting a lot of cash.
Apparently, there's a new sheriff down there with $20 billion. I was reading about him a little bit. He wants to put a stadium where Coral Gables High School is. It's right there on close to the campus.
I love the vision. I mean, it seems like, you know, I was thinking about this in terms of, you know, you can't call Miami a sleeping giant because they have been awake and very powerful. But, buddy, if you put the right infrastructure around the Canes down there, that would change the game here in the state of Florida and make it harder on Mike Norvell, on Billy Napier, and others. And Cristobal would be a good signing because, again, that's a guy who recruits.
Yeah.
But Cristobal is not, you know, that ain't getting, you know, Urban Meyer from Utah or, you know, Nick Saban to come out of the pros. Cristobal has been good, not great. I mean, I have a hard time. I'm a little uncomfortable putting Cristobal up in some special category. His team just got walloped twice in a row by what you could argue is an under-talented team.
Yeah.
With the playoffs in their grasp.
Yeah.
So not that it's not a big upgrade for Miami. It will be. But sure, yeah, that would be interesting. I'm curious, too, how Georgia suddenly has vulnerability. Yeah. Right, for 12 weeks, their team.
Well, now they've got a tough two-pack, too. They're going to have to beat Michigan and Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, listen, is there anyone out there, and I said this 8 weeks ago, we've all said, it's going to be Georgia, Alabama in the SEC, and if Alabama wins, they're going to play again, and that's kind of where we're headed,
I think. But not many thought Alabama was winning that game yesterday.
No.
I mean, honestly,
I said that before the A&M loss. When Alabama lost to A&M, then things got a little dicey, but in the end, It's exactly how everybody thought it was going to be.
And Bryce Young, of all the talent that's come along, of all the great quarterbacking we've seen, just Trevor Lawrence included, that dude played as good yesterday as any quarterback performance. You know who he reminds me of, Bryce Young?
Who?
Deshaun. He reminds me of Deshaun Watson in that he could be a great runner if he's capable. That he doesn't look to run first, mm-hmm. but he's very good at moving around in that pocket and a very accurate passer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was fantastic yesterday. I mean, the way some of those balls he dropped in, the deep balls, and got Georgia doubting themselves. Look, that defense has fed off of its own success all year long. So there's going to be a little bit of a recoil for Georgia, and I'm sure Kirby will take them back to Athens and
they'll get back.
But the point is, Alabama proved I'll score 41 on you. So this notion that Georgia's going to go in and shut a team out or hold them to their season average of 6,
yeah, that's gone.
That's not happening with Alabama.
No.
Now
they did
the
lose.
Dogs caught a little break because Mechie's now gone.
Yeah,
I mean, that's important. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that Alabama kind of piled it on the second half without Mechie.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's why you get 5-star receivers. You just bring in the next guys and keep going. And they've got enough weapons. I don't think they have the best. I mean, Bryce Young is the difference maker for this team. I think that because they don't have the running backs like they've had in years past. I think he's okay.
Nate, tell me who the Alabama tight end is.
Well, it's the Billingsley guy and the other guy, but neither of those guys. And Billingsley's up and
seems
down.
Seems more like a receiver, too. Yeah. He's slight. I'm just, the run game, though, to your point, they've been just cycling in NFL running backs every year. I like Robinson a little bit more than you do, but he was banged up yesterday. I don't know. We'll see. It sure seems like Georgia lost a lot more than the game, and I'll tell you what I mean. They lost a free pass to the final.
Yeah.
Right? Because whoever's – and look, all due celebration for Cincinnati. You know, you're the first Group of Five school to do it. You did it by going to Notre Dame and winning that game on the road. That got you in just by not losing the rest. So that, great accomplishment. But, you know, if you're one of the three and you got your choice on who to play, that's a no-brainer. And Alabama-Cincinnati seems like a mismatch to me.
Meanwhile, in Gainesville, Billy Napier has arrived. He'll be introduced at 4:30 today. He is in Gainesville. Fans are there to greet him. Everybody within the Gator program is excited about the hire, even though history may show that both Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley checked in on Florida. Scott Strickland thinks he's got his man, and this is a guy who is just committed to the ball, you know, and is going to do everything he can to make Florida a winner. He's coming in at a good time with the opening of a football-only building.
He's got quarterback play. It's hard to step into a situation and have quarterback play.
He's a good recruiter. It'd be, we'll see how he's able to do, how impressive he is. They won the Sun Belt Conference Championship yesterday. They beat Appy State, which really didn't matter one way or the other, nor does the introductory press conference matter. But what does matter is the program that he is going to try to build with sustainability, something that Florida hasn't had. Florida will flare up, and then they'll fall off. And the idea is they should never – fall off.
Like they didn't do with Spurrier.
Yes.
And he's really the only one. Even Urban fell back a touch.
Yeah, but not 6-6.
Of course not.
3-9
for Pete's sake.
And
Florida's talent is better than 6-6. They lost games this year that, quite frankly, they shouldn't lost. Right. Shouldn't lose to South Carolina. Shouldn't lose to Missouri. Maybe every now and when those teams have good teams. Mm-hmm. That's, again, I don't mean to pile on other squads like South Carolina, but, you know, you didn't lose to Spurrier's 10-2 South Carolina.
More college news. OU brass en route to Clemson, working to finalize a deal to make Brent Venables the next head coach at Oklahoma. So that looks like that's going to happen as well. So Oklahoma will get their guy as the shuffle continues. I thought it was interesting, too, that everybody associated with the Louisiana program is, like, grateful for Billy Napier. It's like
they understand where they are.
It's a very different vibe than you see with other coaches who leave programs, even sometimes smaller programs for larger programs. But the way it was handled – Billy stayed there. I guess he told a kid early on in the recruiting process that he promised he would be there for the entire 4 years, and he fulfilled that promise. So there's some, a lot of things. Now, again, nothing matters if you don't win. You can be the nicest guy in the world.
Right.
And
he comes in to give, folks out there just a kind of little lean into what it, and we haven't met him yet. Obviously, he hadn't shown up in Florida. But what he seems like to me, what I hear, how people describe him, what he seems to say, and he commented briefly on the Florida job after their win yesterday, but he seems kind of like, picture Urban Meyer going in and taking over for Zook. He's kind of got that Urban Meyer, no nonsense. Yeah. We're going to weed this thing out right away. Mm-hmm. And the glory of that, Hick, What makes that coach, that gives that coach a huge advantage, if that's his style, is when you have quarterbacks that can play. Mm-hmm. Urban could do that because he had Chris Leak, who was really good. It's hard to take over a major program whose quarterback isn't any good, who's good.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. When college, you know, programs fall off to the point that they got to go get a new coach, the quarterback's usually a big part of the reason why. And you don't feel that down there, whether it's Emory and what he's done and whether or not he stays or goes. But Anthony Richardson sitting there in the wings. I mean, I saw what, briefly, what when I watched, I saw what Billy Napier did with that quarterback he's got at Louisiana.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, forget, is a poor man's Anthony Richardson. He's four levels removed of poor compared to the talent that Anthony Richardson has. Now, that also means the defenses that you're attacking and the other guys are also a lot better. And that's what remains to be seen. Billy Napier has never done it against the Nick Sabans and Jimbo Fishers and that level of football brain. And the only time this year he had a chance with, granted, much less talent, it didn't go so well against Texas. So there's always a big unknown when a guy steps up. And we've talked about historically, you can't find a lot of examples of a guy who went straight from that level to the biggest of big time. They've gone from that level to a medium stop to the biggest of big time. But to go from Sun Belt to SEC, you can't find me success stories. So here's hoping that Florida got one.
I suspect Oregon is going to get real sick of the Sunshine State, although they probably didn't mind Willie Taggart leaving to go to FSU. They may mind Mario Cristobal leaving Oregon to go to Miami if it looks like it's going to happen at the tune of $8 million.
Well, and it's funny because the story just broke yesterday that Oregon was renegotiating to give him an extension, and it was high sevens.
You could tell.
Napier's getting almost $8 million a year.
You could tell in listening to Cristobal's post-game presser after Utah waxed him again that he was interested.
Is Miami a better job than Oregon?
Oh, it's home, though.
Yeah, well, that makes a big... Yeah. Maybe he'll be their Spurrier, Dan. Maybe he can go down there and get him turned around. I don't know. It's been a real challenge for Miami's coaches to get any...
They still have to fire Manny Diaz.
Yeah, I know. That's really... It's a weird thing down there. And they didn't hire the AD, did they? They didn't hire that
Clemson
guy.
No, that was... Yeah, there was the reports, but I don't think they've actually hired him.
Well, we'll have a lot to break down when it comes to these playoff matchups. Michigan has a little bit of that Cinderella slipper on them too, Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, Ohio State's a good football team. They beat the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Right? And then they went and beat... Iowa's a good football team. They're not a great team, but 42-3 over Iowa is about probably what I would expect Georgia would do to them. So Georgia better be careful, and I know they're going to... Here's another... And we're making this a lot about Georgia, and that because we got more Georgia interest here than any of the other four teams. But Georgia also has to guard against, I believe, Dan, they have to guard against, you know, getting back at Alabama, Alabama. You got Michigan first, right? So don't look at Alabama. Make sure you're all buttoned up for Michigan. Did you happen to... go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm enjoying ESPN trying to build drama here as they break down resumes with Baylor, Notre Dame, and Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's
just,
in. Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah, they're
I
in.
Mean, it's
yeah.
silly.
There's
we
no
all
one.
Know 1, 2, 3, 4. Why not just do it and then break it down and then go for
the
it?
The only thing that's that Cincinnati is very lucky. You know, they are lucky because they only played one team in the top 40. They only played one. All these other played 5 and 6 and 7. So they just didn't have the opportunity to lose games like other teams. I believe Oklahoma State would beat Cincinnati, but in this case, undefeated.
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't know for sure. Did you see what I was going to ask you? And then we'll go to break and we'll keep moving along here. Turn our attention back to the Jags.
Yes.
Did you see the last play of the Oklahoma State-Baylor game?
Yeah. I thought he was in when he got
the football. Of course.
Yeah.
When he made that first cut. It's like, oh, man, he's going to waltz into the corner of the end zone. Oklahoma State, they're going to be interesting to see what happens. And that Baylor kid chasing him down.
Yeah, hats off to that kid.
Unbelievable because the running back had the angle. He had the separation.
Yeah.
I was amazed
that
he didn't just cut it up and get it in. So there's that. And then there's this. I'm going to ask you this question. Florida, by definition of Bear Bryant, was labeled a sleeping giant. Can you tell me a sleeping giant in college football? It's got to be major football. You can't call UCF or those kinds of teams sleeping giants because they're not in the Power Five. But I'll tell you the one that I think.
Mm-hmm.
This is the third coach at this school now of the last three that's gotten to the 10-win mark. Baylor might be a sleeping giant. They get left in that Big 12 as now the power team in the league. They're probably the best team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
There's something charming about Baylor. They get talent, Dan.
They won a basketball title.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think we kind of overlook Baylor on what they are. That's not SMU. I mean, Baylor won the national championship in basketball.
Yeah.
They just won the Big 12 in football.
Yeah.
They won in 04 with Briles. I don't think they won the Big 12, and they may not have had a 10-win year, but they got close with Rule.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Matt Rule go 10-2 with them? Point being, this spans three different coaches in a long time period, and it seems like within a couple of years, there's Baylor right at or near the top of the Big 12. So I wonder with the vacuum now created by Texas and Oklahoma leaving, if the Big 12 maintains its spot in the potential playoff, maybe Baylor is the sleeping giant out there.
Could be.
By the way, I don't like all these commissioners backtracking on this playoff field expanding. You notice that?
Yeah.
They're all dummies. You all told us back in June, July that we're expanding. We're not having this. So we'll see.
The dummies.
Dummies, if you ask me.
This is the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
Well,
Ohio I stayed State, in my stance like after the snap that time.
Ohio State is 6 and Notre Dame is 5 as they reveal the poll, so it will go as we expect.
I guess we'll the only real drama that's there could be Michigan-Georgia between 2 or 3 or Michigan-Alabama between 1 and 2.
Well, they're not going to have – it's not going to be Alabama-Georgia in the semis.
No, 1 and 2 would be – that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, there will be some combination of – Oh, you're saying if they put Michigan 1, it would be, yeah, they're not doing that.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't. Alabama deserves to be number 1.
Yeah.
That's what I
think. You can make
that's
that. What I think. Sure you can. All right, let's turn our attention back to the Jags as they get ready for ball on Sunday. Let's do so with a look at, the injuries.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
You know, it's been an odd year because you don't feel like the Jags have battled injuries, but then you look up there and so many key guys are out.
Well,
you know?
They haven't battled injuries. They've just been depleted by them. Like, there's no battle where you wonder week to week very much anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, boom, shredded knee, this guy's gone. Boom, you know, ankle, this guy's gone. And you know, you could argue that between Travis Etienne, DJ Chark, Agnew, and now Dan Arnold, that four of the top five options on offense are gone.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I would put those without ever seeing Travis Etienne play a game.
The top option is hurt.
Correct.
May not play today.
Correct.
James Robinson.
Yeah, I wish we could be privy to the Jags, you know, often about this time, even before now, the inactives are coming out, but you're going to have to wait on later in the day.
He was downgraded to questionable.
Yeah, why?
Friday.
What happened?
Well,
he must have had
a setback.
You know, all said and done, you probably should have rested him another week.
Yeah, you know, it's
whatever.
Hard to
He
say.
Wants to play, too, and he's been okay, but he hadn't been himself.
No.
He's never been Mr. Explosive, but he's been even less explosive with that heel injury because, like I said, you can tell it's bothering him. Credit on him. Cincinnati at 4. We're going to drop these in as they reveal them.
Yeah.
But as expected, the Cincinnati Bearcats, the first group of 5 team. But the difference is the Rams can have injuries and it not make as big of a deal.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Jaguars are 14-point underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, in the NFL, that's just an outrageously high number.
Right.
And so, you know, while the Jags have their own injuries, they're certainly more damaging than anything that we could tell you about L.A. L.A.'s receiving core, you know, they lost guys earlier. Van Jefferson has become quite a good weapon for them, but Beckham is beat up, questionable, expected to play. That guy, is it Scourick, who was playing in his stead, who had made some plays? He's coming back off of an injury, so they're going to be a little bit hobbled. Dan, I think if somehow, and I don't know the strategy that the Jags will employ, but if they could somehow, through Tyson Campbell or bracketed covered, somehow contain Cooper Kupp, you know, to Frank's point when he joined us earlier, if you apply the same strategy you did against the Buffalo Bills, then maybe you can have some similar success. And I say that because as it applies to injuries, again, Beckham and Scourick, if that's his name, something like that, are both banged up, beat up. And their top two running backs are out. I guess we'll see Sony Michel today. You know, we'll see a lot of Sony Michel because he's third in line. But the Rams are, you know, we bemoan our personnel losses.
Yeah,
due to injury. Well, they have them too. Mm-hmm. And their top two running backs are out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Miles Jack, you know, has kind of been bothered, but he was able to practice more at the end of the week. James Robinson, Shaq Griffin, those are the two big names to know, and the fact that Dan Arnold with his injuries lost for the year, pretty much.
Yeah.
But you know, it's going to be a tough ask. I find myself, as we do this show every week, and we talk to Frank and we talk to Hayes, I find myself building this unreasonable optimism. That's
somehow, you do?
Well, a little bit, only because when you really, really think about where the Rams are with no Robert Brooks. They lost Robert Brooks for the year earlier. With no Robert Brooks, with their top two running backs Robert Woods, with their top two running backs out. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it gives you, you know, maybe we can slug along to a low-scoring game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
I
say build. I didn't say it's complete.
Yeah, this is a tough one. And, you know, like we've been saying all morning long, it's hard to see. It's hard to get any kind of
Matthew Stafford, by the way, is also banged up.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his back's hurt, his ankle's hurt. He's like, you know, got it feeling. He's a tough kid. He's always done that, right? I mean, in Detroit, he used to get the
maybe they should run Johnny Boy Wolford out there today.
Well,
it's the hometown team.
Get to play the old Jacksonville Jaguars.
Alabama's 1, Michigan 2,
yeah.
Georgia 3, Cincinnati 4. So it'll be Michigan against Georgia, Alabama against Cincinnati. Chaos. just as expected. And then Alabama will be double-digit favorites against Cincinnati. Georgia, I think, will be favored against Michigan
by
7-8 points.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And we'll go from there. And that's how it'll be set up.
Suddenly, because of what Michigan has done the last 2 weeks, the four looks a little, and because Alabama beat Georgia, it looks a little sturdier. Right, a couple weeks ago, look, I mean, Georgia is significantly better than everyone.
Yeah,
and doesn't matter who the put whatever four. It doesn't really matter.
Go in there, bang heads with Georgia.
Sure they will, and they're very confident right now. That's the kind of games where Michigan's a pain.
Yeah,
like they'll run the football, play. It won't be exciting. It'll be boring. It'll be strength against strength with Michigan and Georgia. Georgia's got to run the ball, man.
Yeah,
they didn't run it all against Bama. They got to run it.
But anyway, so the Jags are banged up. The Rams are banged up, but the Rams got better players, so therefore a major advantage for Los Angeles. And again, we look at the Jaguars guys who are out, and their key guys. Shaq Griffin won't play. Didn't make the trip. That's a big loss on the defensive side of the ball. I would suggest, and I think Frank had a good point, the Jags are going to have to go after Matthew Stafford hard. They're going to have to blitz the house again like they did against Buffalo, and that seemed to work and provide the Bills some fits on the offensive side of the ball. So I think that's the way that the Jags game plan will probably work today. It's a 405 kick. You can hear it on 1010XL. We're 30 minutes away from the network. We got Hayes Carline behind enemy lines. We'll talk to him coming up when we come back. We're pushing towards the top of the hour when we hand it off to the network guys. It's the Wingstop Kickoff Show. And you know what we're going to do right now, Pross, before we go to break?
What are we going to do, Dan?
Let's play Santa Claus? Let's give away something. Hammer, what do we have to give away today?
A Wingstop tailgate party pack. It's 50 boneless or classic bone-in wings, up to 4 flavors, 2 large fries, 2 veggie sticks, 4 dips, and it feeds up to 6 to 9 people.
6 to 9. If you're in the Hicken household, it probably feeds 3, but that's okay. You know what you got to do right now? You got to be the first call. You got to beat the heat, man. 641-1010. If you're quick on the digits, man, Hammer will pick you up first, and he will award you a wonderful gift.
A little platter for your Christmas party, even, or something
Laura
like that.
Yeah, however you want to do it.
Order it up for the national playoffs in college football on New Year's Eve. You want to use it.
We're going behind enemy lines next with Hayes Carline. That's on deck.
Now let's go behind enemy lines.
Behind enemy lines.
Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
Oh, yeah.
Marching in. Like
Hayes Carline joining
us. An autumn pirate.
Hayes, as we welcome you.
The autumn wind.
There you go. That's something like that.
Hayes, as you know, last week was Armageddon Sunday for me, so I've written off the Jaguars. So I've gone ahead and fixed them quickly via the draft. Now, yesterday was not a good day for our future Jag players, as Hutchinson really wasn't that good. And Mechie tore his ACL. So I don't know how that's going.
Word obviously got to Mechie that the Jaguars are in.
Yeah, no question. But going forward, we do have a football game today against the Los Angeles Rams. And listen, the Rams beat the Jets last year. The Jags beat the Bills this year. You know, we try to search for these types of things just to find a way to have some hope going into it. I'm down on the Jags, though, because of the way they've played football the last few weeks.
And that's the thing. I mean, how could you be anything but down on them? I mean, they've brought it on themselves. I mean, we're not being too hard on them.
No.
Professional football. And
they get that.
They're playing awful football. So, you know, I think I mentioned it to you guys you know, after they beat Buffalo. I said, okay, well, I'm done saying they have no chance to win, because that was a game that I felt like they had no chance to win, and they won it. So yeah, they have a chance. They have a chance today, like you mentioned. It's I'd put it on par with the unlikelihood
right.
of the Jets beating the Rams last year and sure. the Jaguars upsetting the Bills. But yeah, I mean, if they played the game 10 times, I think the Jaguars could win one of those games. So I don't put it at a very high probability, but they have a chance today. They're going to have to, you know, as you guys, you know, mentioned when you were talking to Frank, I mean, it starts with Stafford. If Stafford plays poorly, then the Jaguars have a chance, because the Rams don't run the ball all that well. But, you know, if Stafford lights them up, then it's going to be game over quick, because there's nothing that suggests the Jaguars can score more than 23 points. So it shouldn't take the Rams long to get to that number.
23, you spotted them eight, Hayes. 15, I'd put the number 15. But I'll take the eight. That's a two-point conversion. You referenced a guy I want to talk about. Is that from the hot take 11 games in? Is it possible we've, like, overvalued Matthew Stafford all these years? I mean, there's always been this assumption that Matthew Stafford is like Aaron Rodgers stuck on the Detroit Lions, or maybe not quite to that degree, but y'all know what I'm saying. He's always gotten this, I wouldn't say a pass, but this belief that he's every bit as good as the franchise quarterbacks. And then we leave out the part that, you know, when other franchise quarterbacks go to bad teams, they don't stay bad. They get good. And Detroit never did. I mean, not to much level. And now he's out there in L.A. He's got every single thing around him, and he's kind of underwhelmed, no?
I think he has. I've always liked Stafford as a pro. I thought he was sort of underappreciated, but I was stunned at what the Rams gave up to get him, because I did not see the difference between Goff and Stafford being dramatic. I saw that, yeah, there's probably some upgrade there, but I think they gave up, what was it, like two ones or something? Yeah. Just, I mean, ridiculous. So, I didn't understand it, I never got into the Stafford's going to be the MVP of the league with the Rams. But I think he's talented. And the problem that the Jaguars run into is he's the kind of player that when he sees a good team, he wilts. But when he sees a bad team, he just absolutely shreds them. And so that's the danger that I think you have today with the Jaguars is, you know, the Jaguars can stop the run, but that doesn't really matter because the Rams don't really try to run the ball that much. So that's what's concerning to me. The Rams lead the NFL in yards per play at 6.16. And that's my fear, is that they'll just be so good through the air that the Jaguars, you know, even if they slow down the Rams when they try to run it, it's not going to be consequential enough to impact the game.
You have to blitz the house, you know, kind of go back to the Buffalo game plan, if you will, and try something along those lines and get after Stafford, who's been in a, you know, is beat up a little bit and been in a little bit of a slump or a funk, if you will. Three pick sixes in a row, I think three straight games. So don't you think that's going to have to be the game plan on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we haven't talked about Rudy Ford a lot lately. Mm-hmm. That's not to say he's playing bad, but he just, today feels like a day that if the Jaguars are able to get it done, that Rudy Ford is going to be one of the unsung mm-hmm. heroes of the game. So he certainly was able to do that against Buffalo and make an impact. And yeah, if he can, he's able to do a lot of things. So if he's able to, you know, do some good things getting after Stafford, certainly in coverage, making open field tackles, helping in the run game, then the Jaguars have a chance to keep it at least within striking distance at going into the second half. But I mean, in terms of intangibles, obviously there's a lot of pressure on LA to get this one. But I just don't think it'll matter. I just think that they've got so many more answers than the Jaguars have. I mean, again, the Rams have lost Cam Akers and Robert Woods, and it really hasn't affected them greatly. And that's the mark of a really good personnel department, a good roster. You know, the Jaguars get seven touches this season out of Travis Etienne and DJ Chark and become an expansion offense. They're averaging, Jeff mentioned it, 15.7 points a game this season. I mean, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
Last year's offense was pathetic, and it averaged 19 a game.
Hayes, I get the feeling, you know, and I'm not real confident that the Jags win today, as no one is, and then this will be their 10th loss, and this will be the, I believe, 10th time in 11 seasons that the Jags have had double-digit losses. 10 times.
That's
going
to be easier to do now with 17. So
yeah,
I mean, they could improve greatly and still have one next year at 7-10. What happened?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Hayes? Oh. Hello, Hayes.
You got me?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I feel some sympathy for Shad Khan when it comes to that because I really do think he's tried.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, you know, he entered the league. He just didn't have the knowledge of football that most owners have when they enter the league or if they inherit the team. And I think Shad's tried his best. I don't think he's cut corners. I mean, he's been willing to spend every year in free agency. He just has never been able to find the right person to put his trust in. And so far, it looks like he's done it again with Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke. But, you know, I have a suggestion for what Shad should do. You know, I think he needs an ombudsman, somebody that's not involved in football, mm-hmm. but can sit there and report back to him and be his eyes and ears in the building 24/7. I think the only criticism I'd have of Shad is he just doesn't have enough hands-on perspective of what goes on day in and day out because he's involved in so many other things, which is unique for an NFL owner. He needs a guy that he can hire that we barely know, but is a good football guy and can sit there and not make any decisions, but can simply watch Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke go about their business and then talk to Shad Khan about this is going well, this isn't going well, you need to make a move. But it needs to be something like the Tom Coughlin role, but with way less influence on coaching and personnel.
Hey, sounds like he's like the king of Game of Thrones and the dragon's coming at him. There's
almost
squealing from in the back. Hey, I don't know what the all
I'm not really sure what's going on downstairs.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah, that's all okay. Good, bro. Listen, from the lair I came. I don't know what the record is in this stat, but I wonder if Cooper Kupp isn't on some pace. This seems like an incredibly big number. But in yards after catch this year, Cooper Kupp, 539 already. Cooper Kupp has more yards after the catch than any of our receivers have just catching it, period. 539, the only other guy who's close. And think about, you would probably suspect that this guy would be number one in yak. That's Deebo Samuel. He's the only other guy who's over 500 in the entire league. So, you know, the Jags aren't noted for doing anything particularly well. They better tackle well today because not only do you have to cover Cooper Kupp, but you got to tackle him too, apparently. This Rams offense today, Hayes, and you mentioned this earlier, they're going to employ Van Jefferson. And if Beckham's, you know, healthy, him, they're going to pass. They're going to test you in the pass game. And they're going to test your tackling too based on that stat.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you look at what Cooper Kupp's been able to do with the 1,237 total yards. I mean, you could combine Chenault, Marvin Jones, and Dan Arnold and just barely eclipse it. It's amazing what he's been able to do, the separation that he's able to continually get. And really, I will give Stafford credit for the instant chemistry that he's built with Cooper Kupp. So it's a tremendous challenge. He is such a great route runner. Stafford does a great job of giving him the ball where he can get yards after the catch. And it sort of all starts there. I mean, if you were to tell me Cooper Kupp's going to have, you know, 7 catches for 60 yards, you know, I think that'd be a really good day for the Jaguar secondary. But, you know, too often we see that he's able to, you know, break a tackle or just simply outrun the defense. And, you know, he's a big play waiting to happen. So, It's a monumental challenge, I think, for the Jaguars in terms of trying to slow down the Rams' passing attack. And the other thing that you have to consider is Odell Beckham, while an overrated player, has now had enough time with the Rams that he should be pretty acclimated. So this could be you're sort of waiting on the game where Odell Beckham, has that, you know, 4 catches, 110 yards, a touchdown kind of game. And unfortunately for the Jaguars, this kind of feels like it might be the week where that happens.
By the way, it's interesting that the Rams have kind of known now, like when Dan and I were kids, Hayes, the Redskins did their business like the Rams do. Remember, Hick, the Redskins would trade for picks for players every year. They never had a draft pick, and that's where the Rams are. But ironically, of all the players that we've talked about with the Rams today, the guy who is as good or better than all of them is Cooper Kupp, third-round pick. So, you guys, what do you think? kind of like Mike Sims Walker. I mean, real similar players. I mean, you know, it just, but I mean, we laugh. It's like, it becomes a joke. But I mean, at some point, you have to draft better than terrible. And the Jaguars draft worse than terrible. It's buffoonery what we have done to get talent here. And it makes me sick that I look here and I see, let me see who the Jags, just out of curiosity. Yeah, well, I mean, Smoot's a nice player. I feel good and all, but maybe Cooper Kupp there would have been a little bit better, I don't know, production.
Then comes the follow-up question, though. If Cooper Kupp were here, he wouldn't have those numbers.
Well, fair.
You know,
fair.
That's what we end up doing, fair. Too, as well.
Fair. No. Why is it the Rams defense, Hayes, played up to expectation? It's a lot of talent. You got two guys that are perennial all-pro and at the front and last level of your defense, yet the Rams defense has just been okay. It's been kind of average.
Yeah, that is surprising with the talent that they have. And, you know, again, I think Aaron Donald is an amazing player. He's an amazing teammate. Jalen Ramsey's a great player, but it just makes me wonder if, I don't know, if maybe there is some sort of Jalen issue there that maybe is simmering and maybe will start to boil if the Rams season, you know, continues to hit this slide. And I don't even mean today, because I think they're winning today and comfortably winning. But, you know, as we get a little further down, if the Rams, you know, continue to struggle, you know, what happens there. But, yeah, they've got a lot of talent. They've had a lot of coordinator change, and maybe that's, you know, a reason for it. You know, maybe they've had a regression because of that. But yeah, they should be better than what they are. We'll see again. Von Miller. This is today the day that, you know, he sort of makes his statement game for the Rams. I think the Jaguars actually will block Aaron Donald. I pretty well. I'd be surprised if Aaron Donald has some amazing game. But I just think overall that the Jaguars are at a point where they just can't, I mean, they just can't score consistently against anybody right now. So it's hard for me to believe that with the talent that the Rams have, that the Jaguars are going to somehow hit 24 points for the first time this season today.
With that said, Hayes, how do you see it playing out?
The old question. Very well said, Dan.
Thank you,
probing,
friend.
Probing.
That's how I roll.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, Rams 34, Jaguars 13. You know, something like that. I mean, I don't think it's particularly close.
Yeah.
And I just think it's, you know, it's a contender versus a team that's going to be drafting in the top five. And, you know, Sean McVay versus Urban Meyer is, you know, at least with the evidence that we have to go off of right now, is a colossal mismatch.
Yeah, it's funny. Losing teams, when your team is losing, we'll have these arguments, and we always determine neither is any good. But when you're stuck on a team like this that can't score, I would prefer to start losing some games 45-42. I mean, right?
Absolutely.
Like, oh, would you rather lose 38-31 or 17-9?
Yeah.
Okay, 38-31. I got to see something for my franchise. But we'll see. Today doesn't seem to be, you know, lining up as a day that breakthrough comes. But Hayes, as always, we appreciate your
thank you, Hayes.
Opinion and weighing in today. Enjoy your football Sunday game day, and we'll see you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Take care.
There he goes. Hayes Carline behind enemy lines. We'll come back, tell you how the game's going to go as well. Plus some breaking news and notes from college football. The playoffs are set. We're rocking and rolling on. The Gators have some assistance already, and that and more as the Jags get ready to take on the Rams. Network programming coming up in just 10 short minutes.
Wingstop Kickoff Show, presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
I'm determined to avoid the false start. I now get in a three-point stance, and it makes me focus. And so far, the second hour of the program, I've been spotless, flagless.
Don't forget Jim Harbaugh's brother-in-law, Georgia men's basketball coach, Tom Crean.
Yeah.
Michigan, Georgia, first time since like 1965 they've played, apparently.
I'm not sure Tom Crean's still at Georgia.
Yeah, he's there.
Can I get the Georgia head coach in there, hammer, real quick? Basketball?
I mean,
you believe?
What are you doing?
I'm supposed to believe you.
Why are you telling me that?
Did you see Alabama's weekend? Did you see what they did?
Bad weekend to be a Bulldog playing the Tide.
And it's they happen to share the same nickname, but they are the first team, first college in the history of college sports to beat a top three team in both football and basketball on the same day.
Hick was not lying. It's Tom Crean.
Yeah,
thank you.
Alabama's. They need to fire him. Alabama's. it went over Gonzaga. They were number three in the country in basketball. And, of course, the win over Georgia, who was number one but is no more. Georgia falls to number three in the latest, or the ultimate, college football playoff rankings. What an amazing reclamation by Bama, huh? I mean, they were just like counted for dead, and here they are. What do you know? The best team in the country.
Patrick Toney is coming with Billy Napier to coach Florida. He was his defense coordinator there. Don't know
Kadarius
if he'll be the defense
brother.
Yes. Don't know if he'll be the defense coordinator at UF, but young guy, full of energy type guy. So again, just a big makeover for the Gators. Napier's presser coming up at 4:30. Miami's chasing Cristobal. The Final Four is set. Heisman votes are due tomorrow. I mean, lots of things happening in college football. But back to the Jags and the Rams. Let's do our picks real quick. As you know, is this our BetUSA picks?
It is BetUS.
Yes.
BetUS.com.
You bet us.
Correct.
Yeah, I got the under 48.
You do.
It's a little dicey, but that's what I like.
I think of all of the sides that you could play in this one, that one makes the most sense because the Jags defense has – you know, they're not giving up 40 to anyone. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they've been awesome every week.
Right.
But they fight, and they typically have kept teams in the 20s. And the Jags offense, quite frankly, until they bust out and score three touchdowns, I refuse to believe they will. I honestly look at the schedule. I look at the rest of the year. It's hard for me to believe that the Jags will hit 20 the rest of the year because they just don't do it. So I love the under. And if I have to play, and look, 14 is a lot to give in the NFL, but if you're going to give 14 – give it to a bad team traveling all the way across the country, playing the West Coast against a team with three straight losses and Super Bowl hope. So, you know, if I was leaning one way or the other, I think I would lay the 13.5, 14 points on the Rams.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, hopefully it doesn't come to that. By the way, all you Minshew fans out there.
Yeah.
He's going to be starting for the Eagles when that kicks off in a couple minutes.
And again, for you Mike Lennon fans, he'll be starting for the Giants against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Mike Lennon.
Like, Mike Glennon has literally zero fans in Jacksonville. Like, I bet not one Mike Glennon jersey was bought his entire time here.
You don't think so?
There's some. I don't know if there's a Mike Glennon jersey.
What number was Mike Glennon with the Jags?
Yes. Five, maybe?
Was he two?
I thought he was eight.
I think we just named, you know, a third of the quarterbacks in Jaguars history. What was the number?
Two.
Two.
Well
you
done.
Did you hit that one or Hammer?
Hammer was wrong.
I was wrong.
Hammer, our work is done here. It's the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
You were excellent today, friend.
Live at Tailgaters half the time today in studio. The network ready to take over. Jags and Rams right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Going to be a fun day, Jeff. Yeoman's work today by you, I think.
Well, thank you. We'll have post-game, then the fifth quarter, and of course, your favorite show, The Drill, tomorrow morning.
We're back.
6 a.m. sharp. Have a great game day. Go Jags.